You're fed up with a 9-to-5. You've been working hard for years and you're just not seeing the results you want. You want to break free from a traditional career but don't know how? Business Breaks is here to help.
Subscribe now and rate and review on your favorite podcast platform. Enjoy the show.
Today, we're diving into the intricate world of cybersecurity in the age of AI with a very special guest, Ron Marty, who's an award-winning cybersecurity leader and also leader in technology governance. So Ron's career spans over 15 years, during which he's been a vanguard in the cyber defense of various industries. He's not just the architect behind sophisticated information security systems, but also a trusted board advisor, as well as an innovator whose strategies are informed by the highest international standards. Ron's recent appointment as board advisor shows his prowess in shaping cybersecurity landscapes. He's also been recognized globally, having been awarded the Global Top CISO 100 Award, as well as being a member of the Forbes Technology Council, which underscores his impact and influence in the field. So join us as we explore the dual-edged sword of AI in cybersecurity, whether it's bolstering defenses to the escalating challenge of AI-driven cyber threats. So it's an honor to have him on the show to break down these complex issues for our listeners. So Ron, welcome to Business Breaks.
Dante, thanks for having me.
Ron, it's a pleasure. And I guess to kick off, you've achieved significant accolades in your career. Yeah. And as mentioned, the Global Top CISO 100 Award. So what innovative approaches or strategies do you believe set you apart in the field of cybersecurity?
Well, thanks for the question. I think I would say it's a myriad of factors, but I think for me, the first point is being able to show value in whatever you do, being able to show value to your stakeholders. And so for me, I mean, positioning cybersecurity as a business enabler is one of the key things that has really helped me. The business people come to me and say they want to roll out a certain product. My first inclination is not to say no. You want to hear them out and then find ingenious ways to deal with or mitigate the risk. So you have a situation where the business functions do not want to do things on your blind side. They always want to get you involved or get your buy-in because they know you are not somebody who is going to say no. So I think that value is key, being able to showcase or highlight that value to the business, to management and the board. But I also think that leadership also plays a role. So in working with people, I mean, for me personally, I think that my leadership style is a blend of, I would say, a bit of democratic and then transformational, where within my team, I mean, everybody has a voice. Everybody can speak up. Everybody can share an opinion. So within my teams, I sort of encourage that, getting people to be confident in whatever points or comments they want to make. People are free to express themselves any way they want. Also nurturing people, I mean, identifying people with potential and helping them grow, build on that potential so they can become future leaders as well. I think for me, I mean, the last one is on continuous improvement, where at every point in time, we want to take a pause and find out, I mean, how do I improve on whatever I'm doing? So this is something that I do on a biannual basis with the team. I mean, every 6 months I meet with my line managers where I say, look, how do we improve on whatever we are doing by way of our information security program? Whether it's to say that, okay, look, an agency such as the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency has come up with a ransomware readiness assessment template. How do we integrate that into our information security program? Or to say that, okay, look, as an organization, we do not currently have a data protection officer, but we know the adverse effects of data breaches. I mean, there isn't a day you don't hear about a data breach. So how do we on our own begin to build influence and get management to buy into a function wanting to build a privacy program where we want to bring all stakeholders on board so that at the end of the day, we have a privacy program that clearly highlights where not just sensitive data, but even personal identifiable information on our customers, where all this data sit and how we are putting in controls to ensure that this data is protected so that we avert any future breaches. So I would say that there's a myriad of these factors. I think that's what makes me stand out a bit, if I can put it that way.
A very comprehensive answer, all valid points, because you have the leadership and also developing the team in that continuous improvement cycle. But at the beginning, it all stems from really convincing your stakeholders of the value that cybersecurity brings. It's funny that in a lot of businesses, you probably see that no one really sees the value unless if you're doing things right. And then it's only when things go wrong that they realize it's almost like an afterthought.
Yeah.
So rightfully so, you're very proactive. So thank you very much for that. And I guess given your extensive background in implementing these complex information security programs across different industries, how do you see AI influencing the effectiveness of these programs, in particular combating insider threats?
I said that's a good question. So I think for me, I mean, there are three key pillars to any successful information security program. I think it starts off with one, having the right governance structures. There clearly should be management and board support or buy-in, I mean, into any initiative cybersecurity related. I think also investing in the right technologies and technical control is key. Whereas I think thirdly, it's to do with ensuring that you have a forward-looking enterprise security awareness program. I think that's key as well. On the point of insider threats, I think that's a very interesting dimension. So I will put, if I were to list my top five threats, I mean, currently plaguing organizations, I would say insider threats is one of the key ones. And within insider threats, I mean, they are put into two key baskets. We have the malicious insiders and we have what we call as accidental insiders. Now, typically for a malicious insider, there are a lot of AI related tools that are helping organizations get an insight into what malicious that are helping organizations identify or track on malicious activities of insiders. So typically when you say an insider, so you're looking at your employees, be it contractor or permanent employees, and also vendors who do some work for the organization. And so through AI-related tools like user entity and behavior analytics solutions, I mean, you're able to track activities of users on your network, to what websites these users are visiting, to what files are being transferred onto third-party platforms like Dropbox or Box, and so on and so forth. And so through AI, I mean, AI is able to help build a certain profile based on activities of your employees. And so at every point in time, I mean, using these tools, you're able to get a sense of who your top five risky users are, I mean, based on their activities on the network. And through that, I mean, you're able to sort of place these people on the watch list, monitoring the activities of a period, and whilst gathering evidences as well. And so at the point when you feel that, okay, look, these users are doing things beyond the acceptable requirement or policy, I mean, you can now take steps to prosecute them, I mean, based on technology such as the user entity and behavior analytics. Now, for what I call accidental insiders, I mean, they are people that you need to regularly train. And even with that, I mean, AI is also playing a key role, where for a lot of learning management platforms, key vendors are integrating AI into some of these platforms. And so the learnings are becoming more personalized, where if some of these accidental insiders are failing phishing campaigns, are failing trainings, these what we call remedial trainings are being more personalized, I mean, to these kinds of individuals. AI is also helping introduce things like gamification into the learning process, all in an attempt to improve and the security culture within an organization. And so as far as AI and its role in insider threats, dealing with insider threats, I would say that these are the current popular things out there on the market at the moment. Thank you.
Wow. A very comprehensive answer, and very impressed by things that I haven't heard about before. And I guess a lot of it is in the background, whether it's the monitoring to identify incorrect behaviors, or even, as you say, the gamification to encourage the correct behaviors. And I guess you see that with the test phishing emails that send out to see who actually falls prey to clicking on the links that are sent on those and things like that. And then, just tracking who's on a leaderboard, I dare say, who's the one who's actually more robust in terms of how they filter their emails that are sent from outside sources.
Yeah.
So it's, that's really fascinating. And I guess in terms of threats, as a cybersecurity leader, what significant changes have you seen in the threat landscape with the advent of AI, and how has this perhaps impacted the projects you're currently involved in?
So again, I'll say that, look, AI has come to stay. I mean, there are so many benefits of AI. I mean, and it cuts across, I mean, various industries. Let's talk about education, talk about health, and so many other industries. I mean, AI is playing a very key role. But then again, I mean, there are the negative sides to it as well. I mean, if some of these tools fall in the hands of bad guys, I mean, these tools can be used to cause a lot of havoc. And we are seeing a lot of challenges with regards to disinformation and misinformation. I mean, thanks to AI tools like deepfake, I mean, which is sort of painting people in a different way. I think quite recently, I think I was an image I saw of the Pope in a puffer pullover from Balenciaga, you know, and clearly, I mean, that's a fake image, you know. But then you have people who actually believe this, and the first question that came to mind is, I mean, why the Pope? And if you look at it, I mean, there are over 1 billion Catholics, so if their leader is in the puffer jacket from Balenciaga, then what it then means is that, look, our leader has certified this. Catholics all over the world could go in and then buy that same attire or pullover, you know. So it's having that negative effect, you know, out there. Again, I mean, like I said, in the wrong hands, especially to do with state-sponsored attacks. I mean, these are countries that have a lot of resources that are also exploring how they can use AI to infiltrate, I mean, other countries' networks, either to steal intellectual property or to cause a downtime of very critical industrial equipment. And so, and as much as there are good sides to it, I mean, there are negative sides to it as well, that needs, I think that a lot of collaboration is needed, especially with researchers and the cybersecurity professionals to come up with ways to combat a lot of some of these challenges. But with regards to what working on as far as this is concerned with the Value Tech team, I think that we are currently analyzing the AI risks related to remote work and what we can do to ensure that, look, our technologies and our platforms, a portfolio of tools, have the right controls in place to deal or mitigate AI-related risks in line with secure remote technologies.
Thank you, Ron. And that makes sense. I guess moving on in terms of your previous role in GCB Bank Limited, did you ever leverage AI to enhance your cybersecurity framework? And if yes, what challenges did you face with that AI-powered threats?
All right. Okay. So I'll say yes. A lot of the frameworks, and I always tell people this, I think that for building an information security program, I think you need to adopt a framework. The framework sort of acts or builds a structure around an information security framework program that you want to you want to build or develop for an organization. And so for a lot of the work that I did with GCB Bank, I mean, some of the frameworks we adopted included the ISO 27001 and the NEST cybersecurity framework, PCI DSS, and the SWIFT frameworks as well. I mean, we had all these frameworks coming in at various points to ensure that we had a very robust program. Now, as far as initiatives are concerned, I think we built a state-of-the-art SOC for the organization. And key among the things we did was that, I mean, we worked with IBM products. And so as early as 2021, I mean, we had IBM products that were powering our SOC. And as part of those products, we had an IBM Watson, which was supposed to be an AI solution in its early stages, helping the SOC with triaging incidents that were seen within the SOC. But I think in addition to that, I think that one of the challenges that we began to see prior to me leaving them quite recently was AI-related phishing emails, where AI-generated phishing emails were difficult to detect. A lot of the training we had done at the time were focused on, okay, look at the email. I mean, observe spelling mistakes, identify whether it's personalized to you or it's a general email. Look out for things like whether there are links in those emails and so on and so forth. And you will see some of those AI-generated phishing emails, and sometimes they're so good to be true. I mean, it's difficult for even cybersecurity professionals, I mean, to really determine whether these are actually legitimate or these are illegitimate emails. And so it's one of the big challenges that we're facing. I mean, the fact that, look, AI-generated emails are coming and employees were having a hard time being able to detect whether these emails were legitimate or not. So I think that at some point our strategy was then to say that, okay, look, when you see an email and you are in doubt, you are not expecting such an email from any third party or colleague. I mean, just forward it to the SOC. The SOC will analyze that email on your behalf, but then it will give you feedback to see whether it was a legitimate email or it wasn't. And so there was a strategy to ensure that, look, the SOC was really out there in the faces of all employees, positioning it so that if employees had challenges, there were contact lines, there were emails that employees could easily reach the SOC on for any clarifications or any cybersecurity related concerns. And I think it helped. It helped by ensure that employees who probably maybe were caught up in multiple phishing simulation campaigns were a bit more alert. And so when such emails came in and they weren't sure, I mean, the first thing they did was just to forward those emails to the SOC team. The SOC team looked at those emails and then they come back and say, look, these emails are good to go. They are fine, or please ignore these emails or delete these emails from your inbox. So I think that was the strategy we used. And I think that it was helpful. It helped.
Sounds like a good first line of defense when you have a proactive security operations center.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And having a well-educated workforce to complement that investment in technology.
I mean, you can't have just technology without people and good people to make it effective, because with the best will in the world, everything keeps changing as we find out. Yeah, thanks, Ron. And obviously, you're a trusted leader. You've got advisory positions at various organizations, as well as the membership, and that's an invitation only very prestigious club with the Forbes Technology Council. So to put it bluntly, you're at the forefront of cybersecurity innovation. Can you discuss any AI-centric cybersecurity innovations that perhaps have been presented to you that have impressed you? And do you think there's any that are on the horizon that may alter industry standards in the future?
Yeah, I think a few. I think that the benefits of AI in relation to the behavioral sciences, and again, I make reference to how some of these learnings are being integrated into learning management systems, like platforms like KnowBefore and Proofpoint, and what they are doing with AI as far as their learning management platforms are concerned. Introducing threat protection features where through AI, things like business email compromise issues or threats are easily identified. I mean, through some of those AI related tools that they've integrated into their learning management portfolio of products. Again, I mean, personalized learning using things like gamification and how this will go a long way to improve security culture of employees over a long period, over a long run. The thing with increases of AI is the fact that technology is becoming more sophisticated. And so employers need to be carried along. If employees are carried along and don't know what to look out for by way of threats in these new technologies that are coming out on a day-on-day basis, then these employees use these technologies or interface with these technologies with minimal risk to various businesses and organizations. And so I'll say that the AI use case in the behavioral sciences and how some of the learnings are integrated into learning management systems and how that in the long run is improving security culture of employees, I think it's what I'm really excited about. As of now, as far as the cybersecurity space is concerned, I mean, obviously there are other use cases with automation within security sense operations and how that is helping to deal with incidents, helping to automate the whole incident response process, relying less on human beings to deal with incidents, but more on technologies such as the security orchestration, automation response platforms, and other platforms that are using AI to identify abnormal or behavioral patterns within the systems.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fascinating answer. I like the first example you gave with regard to speeding up the learning. And I guess it's really about that feedback loop, and AI can pick up that information and turn it around quickly to provide a piece of educational content or a scenario that is professionally delivered that has the impact to affect user awareness. Because I guess even the most sophisticated security, at the end of the day, the biggest leaks come from the people, and you're only as strong as your weakest link.
True.
Yeah. Thanks. Fascinating as always. And I guess drawing from your experience in developing cybersecurity strategies for business, could you share an instance where AI might have played a crucial role in averting a potential cybersecurity crisis?
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of experiences to share, but I think this one stands out for me. So I got into an organization, I think at the early part of my career. And I think I think we were using an antivirus solution. I didn't trust that solution. And so I made a case to say, look, let's get an EDR solution that in addition to that antivirus solution. And so we were able to get CrowdStrike in. And just within a week of introducing CrowdStrike, we had a very high alert where there's some external threat actors in the environment and they were trying to take a dump of our usernames and passwords on our Active Directory system. CrowdStrike, with its AI capabilities, had seen that activity as an unusual activity, an abnormal activity, and had sort of taken steps to block that activity from even taking place. So it wasn't until a few weeks after, I mean, when the teams were reviewing incidences on the platform that we were able to pick up this incident. And I think for me that firsthand, I mean, I got to experience AI in action with regards to helping to foil a big incident, such as dumping all usernames and passwords on our Active Directory. And so that for me is one incident, one experience that has stayed with me. Then I'll be forever grateful to CrowdStrike for the support and assistance they gave, I mean, as far as that organization is concerned.
I mean, CrowdStrike are a market leader, and
to
have a real-world example like that, that's pretty impressive to have lived through that, and thankfully lived through it for the right reasons, because, you know, it could so easily have been the other sort of event where, they were successful, these threat actors to steal those.
Exactly. And I'm sure if it was successful, my head would have been on the chopping board. I mean, to say, you are the CISO or you are the information security manager. What happened here? I mean, what did we do wrong? It's a fault, you know. So that call to say, look, let's invest in the right technology was very handy. And CrowdStrike came in at the right time to save the day.
But you made the call, so well done. and as you say, there's fine margins, isn't there, between success and failure. In fact, it's probably, I've heard that if you're not 100% right, you're wrong.
Very true.
And then looking out into the future, where do you see AI taking us in terms of both cybersecurity defense mechanisms as well as the rapid escalation of cyber threats? And in your mind, how should businesses prepare for this evolution?
Well, I think AI has come to stay. And on a daily basis, we are seeing the impact in various industries. And so for an organization out there, I think that making the right investments in AI-related technologies is key. Because we are getting to a point where the same technologies that are available to the good guys to use are also available to the bad guys. Like I mentioned, state-sponsored actors, organized crime teams have access to these same AI tools. And they are reverse engineering them to use them for the wrong reasons. I mean, we have currently ransomware as a service where you go on a certain platform to just buy a malicious code and then use that to disrupt an organization's network. And so in the same vein, I mean, AI is going to help develop a lot more sophisticated, advanced tools that can wreak serious havoc to organizations. And so investment in the right solutions, investment in the right tools is key. And there are several benefits. Like I said, look, if you happen to have a SOC analyzes over a million events on a daily basis. You have human beings in there trying to review and analyze all these incidents that come in. But are they really efficient? You know, I think that those efforts can be complemented by AI-related technologies that can really identify the needle in the haystack, you know, and then work with other platforms like the SOA or Security Orchestration Automation and Response Tools to deal with incidents, you know, at a much faster pace without necessarily relying on human beings who probably will take a bit of time, I mean, to get in and resolve an incident. So I think largely that on that front, that I think AI is valuable. Like I said, again, on the security culture bit, AI plays a significant role in there as well. Mass technologies begin to advance. I mean, they pose more risk as users interface or interact with them. And so we need to deepen the security awareness, and AI can help in personalizing some of these learnings through gamification and other avenues. And also in behavioral, I mean, being able to identify unusual patterns, I mean, in systems. I mean, if we have system administrators logging onto servers at 2 a.m. in the morning to perform a task, that's a bit unusual. I mean, these are things that, with the right AI tools or investments, things like this can be flagged. And for the attention of various stakeholders to take a decision on whether or to validate whether indeed, I mean, the person who was logging in at 2 a.m. is who they say they are, or somebody else who's probably maybe had compromised a privileged user's account and is logging in at that time to exfiltrate data or to wreak some havoc onto a network. And so, based on these use cases, I mean, a lot more advanced threats will come up, and investment in tools, AI-related tools, to help identify some of these things is key, I mean, to ensuring the survival of organizations in a couple of months and years to come.
Thank you. That makes sense. And yeah, it's a fast-paced game, and, you know, still not fully, I still don't have a clear vision of what's out there in the future. And I dare say, you know, your vision's certainly clearer than mine in terms of certainly cybersecurity. and AI and just thinking about what are the possibilities, it's quite mind-blowing. And also yeah. various areas, because everyone's on a different, shall we say, stage of understanding how AI works and even actually adopting it within yeah. within their processes. And the way they adopt it might not be in line depending on the type of business, because some businesses actually say, nope, do not use any AI until we're comfortable with you can use it. But then employees might still see it as a productivity time saver, and they'll be yeah. either copying and pasting into their ChatGPT browser yeah. Little tasks and accidentally maybe releasing proprietary information into yeah, into exactly. a third party system which yeah. isn't approved. Yeah,
exactly. But you're also getting to a stage where if AI becomes more intelligent than humans, then what next for the human race? Do we need AIs now to fight good AIs now to fight bad AI? You know, so these are very interesting conversations. I mean, what happens from then on when AI systems become more intelligent than human beings?
Yeah, that's an existential threat.
Exactly. I mean, are they still have our control, or they begin to control us now? I mean, and you hear Elon Musk say it all the time that he thinks AI is the biggest risk. Perhaps he's seen something that we haven't seen yet. Hopefully we don't get there.
Yeah, yeah.
We're able to manage it with regulations as being done within the EU where there's an AI regulation or law that has been passed. I don't know, I think it's a bill yet. I don't know whether the law has been passed yet, but I think that a lot of countries are taking steps to pass AI-related laws to ensure that AI is being used in the right way. I mean, under some proper ethics and governance structures. I think that's the way to go.
And I think AI has to be safe before it can be mainstream, really. And maybe the cat's out of the bag. ChatGPT being released. Some,
yeah.
Perhaps the horse is already bolted, but I think hopefully to the extent that AI still isn't as smart as human intelligence yet, not quite, can't quite do every task and certainly can't do it with the same level of precision. But it's amazing how quickly it can improve because it just has more yeah. ability to iterate faster and then adapt.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, true. But yeah, I imagine it's building blocks, and as it builds, it gets progressively faster. But yeah, we'll see if it can actually ever get to the stage where it can really, truly replicate human emotion and human decision making. Although, you know, it's starting to do a very good impression of that. So
it is.
I guess
it is.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens in the next year or two.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully we'll still be able to be in control to an extent. Thanks, Ryan.
I hope so.
It's yeah, no, welcome, same here. And I guess in terms of yourself, can you share with us perhaps your latest project on enhancing cybersecurity in the context of secure remote access technologies?
Yeah. Okay. So currently with Vantech, I think we are working with our partners on some innovative solutions. I mean, we have a sense of what that remote secure remote technologies are on the market and what they are doing, and we want to approach it a bit more differently, where we are using the concept of secure rooms and provisioning accesses to whether third party vendors or contractors or employees who are working remotely within the confines of those rooms, applying all the rules, including firewall rules, to ensure that users are only able to operate within those confines. We are helping to ensure that we are able to safeguard data within those confines so that in scenarios where employees are working with their own systems, working from those rooms will ensure that company data are stored within those confines and not on the personal employees' systems and things like that. And so we are looking at solutions that are able to help address things like zero trust, least privilege, privilege access management, and all these things within one pane of glass without necessarily having to use a myriad of tools to achieve these same things when working remotely. And so there are some products that we'll be releasing onto the market very soon with our partners. And we are hoping that we'll be able to get stakeholders to buy into some of these things, these technologies, and adopt them quickly. And to deal with the various risks that are within the remote working space.
That's really exciting. Thanks, Ron. Because, you know, people don't really want to be on hyper alert when they're already focusing on doing their jobs. So getting to that stage where there's technology within your system that's doing the heavy lifting for you in terms of that, not having to worry, is someone hacking, trying to get into my system to spy on me and see what I'm doing and steal any company information. You don't need that. Definitely. Thank you. So I'm excited to hear about that release. And please, if there's an email list, let me know and I'll drop it in the show notes for people who are interested to hear the announcement when you're ready to release the products or services
into the market.
Thanks, Ron. And final question, looking ahead, with your deep involvement in education and policy making, what emerging trends or potential breakthroughs in AI and cybersecurity do you foresee making a big impact in the next, I was going to say next 5 years, but even next 2 years, I guess, based on what you said?
I'm biased again towards the behavioral sciences and what AI is doing within that space. You know, how AI in the long run is helping to improve security culture, you know, in relation to how employees, how people interact with these technologies. I think for me, it's key. It's something I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about awareness, creating that needed sense. I mean, for people to take responsibility for how they use technology and how it can impact their lives if the right things are not being done. And so everything around the various sciences and what AI is doing, that really excites me. I mean, as far as that space is concerned, I mean, and what I see in the next year or two, I mean, I think it can only get better. Employees or people are going to be a bit more conscious, I mean, with regards to how they interface with technology. And ensure that, look, they're taking things like their identity and their privacy and things into their own hands. I'm not leaving it to a company or a third party to handle these things for them as and when they use these technologies on a day-to-day basis.
That's fascinating. And again, thanks for reminding me about what you said about behavioral sciences. So I'm going to add that to my research list because it sounds like a very fascinating use case. And especially on how AI can influence user behavior. And I think there's great value in there if it's done in the right way. So it sounds like you've got a great use case. This interview has flown by and it's been fascinating to get your insights. I just want to wrap up with a couple of final questions. I was going to ask what exciting projects you'd like to share. I think you've already shared it. Is there anything on a personal level that you're working on that you might want to share?
On a personal level, I think I have a few articles that are yet to be published on Forbes. I'm still working through some of these articles. I mean, hopefully within the next month or two, some of these articles will be published. Perhaps also to mention that I've permanently relocated to the UK now, and I'm into freelance consulting as well. So I'm a seasoned cybersecurity professional, and if there's any of your listeners who has need for a cybersecurity professional on a project well, on a contract on a permanent basis, so I can avail myself. I currently reside in Cambridge, and so you can take my details from Dante and then we can talk. Or Dante can share my email. Thank you.
Yeah. If you want to reach out to me, I will be more than happy to share Ron's details with you. But it's been a pleasure, Ron. And I guess in terms of the work you do, it's specific cybersecurity consulting. You are clearly a top leader in this space. Ron, it's been a pleasure, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you too, Dante. Nice talking to you.
Likewise.
Business Breaks, all things business podcast with Dante Haley and John Byrne.